when you recognize it's like good, the difference between delegation and good delegation or delegating and delegating well is recognizing it's like, don't delegate tasks, delegate outcomes.
Hello and welcome to the Remarkable CEO Podcast, a show dedicated to chiropractors who want to transform their job into a business so that they can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. With your hosts, Dr. Pete Camiolo and Dr. Stephen Franson.
What's up, Remarkables? Welcome to another episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. I'm Dr. Stephen Franson.
And I'm Dr. Pete Camiolo.
So just coming off of the heels of an awesome trip in New Zealand and Australia. I was over for the Australia immersion. Went over there with Dr. Sebastian Bunnens. Saba and I went over to Australia for the team building immersion in Brisbane. And then we were over in New Zealand for our one-day intensive with our awesome New Zealand doctors. So it was just, man, it was just so wonderful to get the feedback from them. So many people that I'd met for the first time coming up, giving me a hug, shaking my hand, saying, thank you, man. We love the podcast. So for those of you guys who are listening right now, thanks so much. It means so much to get that kind of feedback. And we just like BJ, actually it was Didi who once famously said, I appreciate the opportunity to be useful. Right. So that was on a placard at our check-in CA right in front. We appreciate the opportunity to be useful. So I felt that and I felt the love and appreciation. So big, big shout out and love to my Australian doctors and New Zealand doctors, you know who you are. So, you know, that being said, Dr. B, we'll ask people, help us make that impact. Share the show, as they say. All right. So please, you know, other chiropractors, other brothers and sisters who need to be in this conversation. And we say it that way because that's what this is. This is a conversation, right? So the Remarkable CEO program is designed to help you take your pirate ship and turn it into a battleship. To take the job that you love and turn it into the business you've always wanted. To create the business that supports your remarkable life, not competes with it. This is a conversation, right? So if that sounds like you, you're in the right place and you're definitely in the right place today as we're going to be talking about one of the keys to making all of those things happen, which is delegation and the skill set of delegation, right? So how to create scalability, how to create durability and eventually transferability. One of the big keys to this, Dr. P, is being able to delegate well. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, first thing you do is pump your brakes. All right. So that's not good. That's not good for growth. That's not good for impact or income, right? So if you're feeling stressed and strained, if you're feeling stuck, right? If you feel like your business is like flat or if it's growing, but you just feel the weight, like they're just sliding more weight on the bar on your back, then it tells me that you're not delegating or you're not delegating well, right? So if you want to scale, you cannot scale without delegation. Okay. So without delegation, you'll never be able to create scalability, never mind durability, right? So, and delegation requires accountability, right? So scale requires delegation and delegation requires accountability. And at the end of the day, Dr. Pete, you can't hold somebody accountable to something that you're not measuring, right? So of course, we're going to come back to the data-driven decisions, the data-driven process of delegation, making sure that you recognize like you can't delegate something that's not measured. Right? You definitely can't delegate it well. So today we're going to talk about the difference between transactional management and transformational leadership.
One of my favorite parts of this topic is that how it was inspired. So Dr. Stephen, you had an opportunity to go to Australia and New Zealand for the team building immersion 2.0, only because we did 1.0 here a month earlier, right? So you had an opportunity to get multiple at-bats, which is awesome. And one of the things that you do and did, and we actually did an episode on this a few episodes ago talking about the debrief, you actually got some feedback, right? So that's part of the, you know, one of our best practices is we have a feedback loop. So we're always looking to get, you know, feedback from whether it's our team internally after we do an event, which we did a whole episode on that, but also from the attendees at an event, for example, which is what happened here. And you know, we're inquiring about that, which in and of itself is a transformational leadership attribute, by the way, to actually be willing to actually receive feedback and discover what is valuable and what was the most valuable thing. And so this actually came out of that. So I think it's important just to state that at the beginning that part of transformational leadership is actually the feedback loop, which is a big part of the delegation methodology, actually. It's the verify component, which is a significant part of the actual loop that makes it successful. So it goes full circle. And so with that, Dr. Steven, I love that. So I just want to make sure I shared that. And then I had an opportunity, because we met earlier in the week and we discussed this, I had an opportunity to then bring this discussion into masterminds, in CEO masterminds and meetings. And it was incredible how it was a fresh kind of perspective. It was so valuable. It was so impactful that we agreed that it would be worth having a discussion here today. That's why we're actually having this discussion. What we're bringing to these conversations is actually things that we are very passionate about, very convicted about, things that we are inspired and challenged by, things that we believe are really important. So thank you again for tuning in to this program and for listening in, but also taking action. And I know many of you, Dr. Steven, as you shared, who are not only listening, but also responding to this, these conversations are actually growing your business as a result of it. So I know that this topic today has the power to exponentially improve your business and your experience and your team's experience. So outcomes is what we're about in this organization, and this will drive outcomes. So Dr. Steven, just the idea of unpacking delegation and the simple differentiation between what we're going to share today, differentiating, delegating tasks versus outcomes, we're going to unpack that construct is transformational. Because again, it's easy to be misconstrued, especially if you said, oh, we're using scorecards, or we've been doing everything that you've said to do. But if you miss this one piece right here, you're actually missing the mark. And we want to make sure you hit the target. We want to make sure you get the best possible outcome. So Dr. Steven, again, transactional management versus transformational leadership. That is the subject matter for this conversation. And man, I couldn't think of a better topic for us today.
Yeah. So I love the way Dan Martell teaches this. And, when we talk about the difference between delegating tasks versus delegating outcomes, it's an inflection point for leadership. And, we talk about the ascension of going from an owner operator to becoming a CEO, right? So there are multiple ascensions for a leader, right? Let's just call it a business owner, right? So there's multiple ascensions, and I want to make sure that we keep this conversational, right? That this should be, we should have a fluency in this. This should be part of our CEO identity development conversation. Okay. So I want to put words to this so that's intentional, right? So I don't want us to back into this, right? So I want to make sure that we're always super intentional. We have visuals, we have terminology, right? So don't get lost in this conversation and listen to the steps and stages, right? So you can consider these ascensions of a business owner, or the concept around the five exits of a business owner. Like, for example, like whatever conversation we're in, let's just call this the ascensions, right? So you can start as an owner operator, right? So it's that classic, I'm working in the business, right? So you're the owner operator, you're in there, you're doing, right? So then there's the first ascension is to go from to being that owner operator who's biz doing to becoming a manager. Right. So it's going from being a technician to a manager. That's like that first ascension. Okay. So, and that management implies that you're actually leveraging systems and you're scaling and you're leading a group of people, or you're managing a group of people. Right. So, but that's a management position. Right. So the next ascension is going from manager to leader. Right. So, and a leader actually has managers underneath them. So the leader is leading the managers are running the people. Everybody see this ascension, right? So, and then you can go eventually on a CEO role, okay, which is a leadership role, to a governance role, right? So maybe you go to the board, right? So you hire a CEO who then runs the managers who then lead the people, right? So it's like you can see these ascensions, right? So eventually then I'm going from governor to investor, where I'm selling my business, right? So can you guys see these steps and stages? Like if you start seeing this visually in your mind, you're like, oh, cool, I've got this runway in front of me, right? So it's like, all right, well, you understand those concepts. It's like, here's the truth is every single one of those steps pays better. Right? So every single one of those steps has more leverage and more influence, and therefore you're going to have more impact and more income, right? So you pay attention, right? So each one of these steps pays better. Okay. So the juice is worth the squeeze. The punchline is it's hard. It's wicked hard, you know, but it's worth it, right? So we're trying to take something that's hard to make it easier for you. Okay. So when we say, okay, so you got to learn how to delegate and delegate well, this is part of your ascension. This is part of your ascension to actually go from somebody who's a technician to a manager, from a manager to a leader. Okay. So this is all intrinsic skill sets. When you make your identity shift from an owner operator to CEO inside of the Remarkable CEO program in our CTS program, this is the CEO transformation system. This is intrinsic to the transformation. It's like, I got to learn how to delegate. Okay. So I know that was a long response, Dr. P, to what you teed me up to talk about, but I just want to make sure that people understand. It's like, no, this is not interesting information. This is the DNA of a successful transformation, right? So it's like learning this skill set makes it practical. And this is how it hits the ground. When you recognize it's like good, the difference between delegation and good delegation or delegating and delegating well is recognizing it's like, don't delegate tasks. Delegate outcomes. Okay. So that is so much meat on that bone, because to be able to delegate an outcome, that's like saying, okay, so Dr. Pete, in your role, you have a set of responsibilities, right? So that's a role. There's a set of responsibilities organized underneath that role. That's why we call it a role. By taking on that role, you agree to take on these responsibilities, right? So those responsibilities are activities, you know, you're responsible to activities, but you're accountable to outcomes. And the outcome is we're going to measure the performance of those responsibilities. And that creates a KPI or a key performance indicator. That's the outcome. That's the outcome. So don't delegate tasks, delegate outcomes. So once you operationalize your business, it's like, okay, so I've got my standard operating procedures that are organized. I've got my roles that have those activities organized underneath the role. So now I know what to do and I know who's owning it, who's responsible for it. Now we just have to make that leap to be able to say, okay, so there's a measurement here of the performance, and that's what we're going to focus on, right? So yes, we're going to make sure there's expectations and agreements. They understand the responsibilities. We're going to train them, equip them, develop them, support them. But at the end of the day, once you professionalize your business, in other words, you put the right person in the right seat, you get them doing the right work the right way. Now the conversation we're having is around outcomes. Let's delegate the outcome, not the task.
Hey, Remarkables, Dr. Stephen Franzen here. Are you ready to take your practice systems to the next level, grow your practice, and increase your profit? Would you like to have your team immersed in a high-energy, inspiring environment where they're trained and skilled up in the complete TRP system? Well, I got great news. It's that time of year again. It's time for the Remarkable Conversion and Retention Immersion. It only happens one time a year in the U.S. and once in Australia. It's June 7 and 8 in Nashville, Tennessee, and June 28 and 29 in Sydney, Australia. It's a comprehensive training on the complete Remarkable Practice Building System. We cover everything. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, week 1, 2, 3, 4, month 1, 2, 3, 4, year 1, 2, 3, 4, patient conversion and retention, we cover the entire system. What would it feel like to see your patients eagerly start, happily follow your recommendations, and stay under care because they want chiropractic care? This is the best bang for your buck in training all year. Register your team now at theremarkablepractice.com or find the link in the show notes below. Join us for a jam-packed 2 full days of intensive training for chiropractic teams that want to grow their practice and increase their profit. June 7 and 8 in Nashville, Tennessee, and June 28 and 29 in Sydney, Australia.
It's so helpful to break it down this way. It's so clear, but it's sometimes easier said than done. So what you said at the last part here was the four rights, the framework of the four rights. So I want to just start there as I share some things here, because number one is you have to have the right people, right? To successfully delegate, many of us don't trust. So therefore we don't delegate. So we are by nature, many of us, maybe you had to self-identify as being a bit of a control freak, perfectionist, Clydesdale. Maybe that's something that you've identified with in your own journey. And so you may have a hard time with letting go and trusting. And so maybe that's a part of your subluxation that needs to get adjusted. right? So we talk about that regularly. And that's why we have accountability in coaching, because you need to get regular adjustments because you got to stay in alignment. And if you're not getting adjusted regularly in check, you might find yourself subluxated. And then when you're subluxated, that's where disease, disorder, and dysfunctions begin to develop. And then it manifests as symptoms and other things worse down the line, right? So we want to avoid that. So number one is you have to find, make sure you're getting the right people. And that's we say it, it's understood, but I need to restate that. Like, for you to have success with this delegation, you must have the right people. And then they have to be in the right position, right? So they have to be in that right role. And identifying the right role, there's criteria to that. It's these, when you go through the role, the job description, what you said, the responsibilities, the key responsibilities, when you see those things, those are things that you say, yes, I got that. Like, I absolutely can do that. Those are the things that I can do them. I actually really enjoy doing those. I am energized doing those, and I can add energy to those and make them even better here. So I like to have those. I like that to be on my my plate, so to speak. So those responsibilities, that's when you know you've got them in the right role. You know, if somebody's coming into them and they're a little, you know, dicey, they're not really, they don't have that certainty, that passion, that confidence around those tasks and those responsibilities, that's your sign. We need to slow down and hold on. Wait, is this the right person for this role? Because this is what this role implies. These are the thing, because those responsibilities, when you do those responsibilities, when you do them correctly, they will drive an outcome. So I need to make sure you're clear on those responsibilities, and you're going to be able to do those things and do them this way, because it's the outcome that I'm actually hiring you for. It's the outcome that you're compensated for. It's the outcome that we're in business to produce. In other words, I'm not going to just give you a high five because you did the task. Right. I'm not just going to give you a hug because, I'm not just going to write you a check because you did the task. I am interested in the outcome that task produces. So if you are not focused on the outcome, they are not focused on the outcome. If all you stopped at was the task and the responsibilities, I took the phone calls, I made the reminder calls, I did the adjustments, yeah, I educated them on the dirty dozen or whatever. It's like, but what is the outcome of educating that person on the dirty dozen? What is the outcome of that reminder call or that follow-up call? What is the outcome of fill in the blank? That is what I'm interested in. And so if you just did the task, you went through the motion, you did it, hey, good for you. Thanks so much. That's great. But what is the outcome? And that's what, Dr. Steven, you differentiate. And that is sick. It's subtle. It's so subtle. So subtle. So it's so close, but yet so far. Because if you don't actually identify that and you simply stop at task and not outcome, you own a job. It's still on you. And then you get frustrated and you get upset because you're like, man, I hired on Paley. Look at my payroll. What the hell? You know, and you get upset because you're not getting in the outcomes, yet you're making these investments in these people, but they're not producing. And then you're sitting there like this. You're like, man, it was just easier. It was just me, you know? Well, that happens because we've took our eyes off of the outcome focus and supporting the person in the role for the outcome and coming alongside of them, coming up underneath them, coming alongside of them and saying, how can I help you with this outcome? How can I support you in this outcome? And so, Dr. Steven, I know we're going to talk about this, the rule. I think the 1-3-1 rule will be a cool thing to unpack here, because the delegation methodology part that I love is the verify part. You know, that's the full circle. So you delegate, but you train. The training never stops, by the way. Then you train so that you can effectively trust them. I now trust you because we've trained on this. So I trust you with that now. I trust you, but I'm going to verify. We are going to check in. So we have this verification process, which is visibility, accountability, right? So we have these mechanisms that support a successful business, a durable business. And so that focus on that outcome. If I went to your office, Dr. Steven and I came to your office and we did a little bit of an audit, let's say, we could go through all of your vitals and all your scorecards, scoreboard. We could go through your marketing plan. We go through everything. You know what we're looking at? We're just going to be looking at the outcomes. Mm. Let's cut to the chase. I just want to see the outcome, because that, then from there, I can reverse engineer back and we can start to solve, but it starts with the outcome.
That's right. Those investments that we make as business owners in our people and in our business, the time, energy, focus, and money we spend, we're not trying to buy effort. We're buying outcomes, right? So effort's expected. Right? So it's like the conversation needs to be about the outcomes. Right? So, you know, the effort is table stakes, right? So there's an exchange that's happened, and I'm assuming we're on the same page because we went through expectations and agreements. We understand, it's like, listen, this is your job. These are the things you need to do. And you see it get, a lot of missteps happen in bonuses, right? So I see people like bonusing people for doing their job, right? So it's just like, no. It's like, no, you pay them to do the job. The bonuses are when the outcomes exceed the goals. That's when bonuses kick in, right? So this is like, let's be clear. I mean, you heard that there was a minor distinction, but man, God's in the details, right? So it's just, there's a difference there. Like that's your entire model in a whole nother episode, right? So, you know, when you are delegating outcomes, it does change the dynamic and the, you know, upstream assumptions associated with that, which is like you said, you have A players. Because you can't do this without players, right? A players are the first turn out of the driveway, right? So like we talked about at the immersion was, you know, if you call in a GPS system and you come out of your driveway and the GPS says you're supposed to turn right and you go left, you're screwed. Like you could do everything else right after that. It doesn't matter, right? So it's the first turn out of the driveway. So the assumption here is A players only, right? And then the A players only, you set up expectations and agreements with them. You train them, equip them. And you delegate, then you train, then you equip, you support them, but then you trust and verify, right? And the verification piece is what we're talking about. So when you are trusting them with the outcomes, like between the trust, the delegation, and the outcome is the execution of a task, but you're not delegating tasks. And if you do that task delegation culture, then what you're doing is say, hey, go do this and come back and show me. Okay, good. Now do this. Okay, come back and show me. Oh, change this, tweak that. Okay, now come back and show me. Okay, now do this. Okay, great, come back and do it. Now I want you to do this, right? That's task delegation, right? So that is transactional management, right? Micromanagement, right? We want macro leadership, right? Where it's just like, listen, you already know the tasks. You have the role, right? So you know what your task is. You know you own those tasks. We have SOP, standard operating procedure. You know that you've been trained up in it, right? So I'm expecting you now to deliver these outcomes, right? So now let's just talk about and focus on the outcomes and if we're on track or off track. Now, if we're off track, you know, this is where the verification process comes in where you're like, okay, we're off track. Now we troubleshoot. Okay. So now we have the ability, we have a skill set, we know how to do that, right? And in fact, I love how Dan teaches this. He like create a culture to really establish this culture of transformational leadership where they take on the responsibility of the outcome is the 1-3-1 rule, right? So the 1-3-1 rule, as he states it, is beautiful. It's like, okay, so what's the one problem we're trying to solve? Like what is the one clearly defined problem that we're trying to solve? What are the three potential or possible solutions to the problem that you have unearthed from your research and your thought process, et cetera? And then what is your one best recommendation? So 1-3-1, what's the one well-defined problem we're trying to solve? What are the three viable options for solving this problem that you've come up with, okay, in your thought process, critical thinking? And then based on your experience, your position, the fact that you're in this role, which means you have all of the context and therefore the best possible position, you're positioned perfectly to choose what is the one best recommendation solution. Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the right person for the job. If you're looking to hire the ideal chiropractic assistant, Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the specific person missing from your team so that you can get back to using your talents to serve more people. Or if you're looking to hire the ideal associate doctor, CMM can help. Cairo Matchmakers helps chiropractors like you find the ideal associate doctor to unlock your practice potential and get you the freedom that you desire. To learn more, go to chiromatchmakers.com.
Please stick around for more business insights from this week's bonus interview with our remarkable success partner dedicated to helping you more successfully help more people. Enjoy.
All right, guys, I am so excited for this interview today. I'm here with my friend, Dr. Kendall Price. He is also the owner of Elevate Marketing, and we're going to jump into his interview because he's got a lot to share. But on a side note, I had the good fortune of getting to spend some time a year or two ago where we met at the Principal Chiropractic Association in Illinois. I got to speak there, and then we got to hang out afterwards, and I got to hear more about Kendall's heart for chiropractic and why he's doing Elevate Marketing. And I also got to share with him some of the things that we're doing in chiropractic. So it was a great time to really just like get to know each other. And so I'm excited for this interview today. Welcome to the podcast, Kendall. I'm going to pitch it to you right away. Just give the, you know, the listeners a little bit of your background and who you've been in chiropractic and where things are at today. And obviously tell us about Elevate Marketing.
Yeah. So I'm a 2015 life grad. I came out and opened my practice from scratch, ran my practice for 8 years. I actually have just recently sold my practice. So I was a TRP doc and I went through, you know, the build and the scale and the exit strategies. And so I'm very—
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. That's been the framework that I've really worked from with this. And so my story with Elevate really plays off of just my heart, I think, for chiropractic, because I think that there's too many chiropractors who are playing small. And I think that one of the things that I love most about TRP is the fact that they kind of look at it from the old, you know, your doctor hand and your business hand. And I think that that's something that is truly, truly missing in our profession. And I've always really loved both. I love seeing patients, right? We were a 350, 400 a week office. I ran a $1 million practice for, you know, four or five years. And so this opportunity with Elevate, if I'm very honest, is a totally self-serving thing in the beginning. I was having dinner with my business partner, Gil, and he was telling me, you know, hey, I'm starting to run digital ads for businesses. What do you think about me running it? So I just helped him kind of build it for a chiropractor, right? Like for an office that was busy that, and then gave—
For your office, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was for me, right? And so I was client number one. And what happened is I started, you know, referring all my friends to him. And at a certain point, he's like, look, I need help with this. And so, you know, in the very beginning, I was very silent partner, you know, helping him to just understand chiropractic. Then it was helping to kind of coach and consult and, you know, push our clients to, you know, organizations like TRP to like, we can market and we can do everything, but if you don't know what to do with them, it's not going to help your practice, right? And so that was how it started. And so I was very happy in my practice. We were growing, you know, we were seeing it. I brought in associates. I had honestly kind of taken a step back and enjoying time coaching my kids and wrestling and, you know, hunting and fishing and doing all the things that I love to do.
That we can see on your wall.
Yes. But the thing that I realize is that, you know, having, you know, served in my state association, I've been the vice president for the past couple of years now. And before that, I served on the board. You know, I got involved right out of school in helping because I think that our profession is in a place where it's like, if we're not getting involved, we're not helping. And I know that you have a very like-minded vision of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd always been very involved with trying to help doctors. My wife jokes that I should have started a coaching organization because I have all, you know, every night I'm on the phone with somebody, you know, mm-hmm. talking about how they can optimize their practice and people who aren't even our clients. Right. And so that transition for me, really, we got to the point where the next logical move for me was that I could continue to see 400 visits a week in my office or try and push that forward and hire or open another office, mm-hmm. or I could try and help 400 docs see 400 patients a week in their office.
Right.
And the impact of that is so much greater, right? I think that one of the coolest stats that we keep is the number of patients that have walked through patients' doors. We're over 300,000 new patients that have walked into chiropractors' doors.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Amazing. Yes. So that's really what's led me to the position that I'm in now. And so I think that where we're headed as a company is not just to be your digital marketing company, which there are tons of them out there and there are good ones out there, right? But it's to also give everybody the mindset of how they execute on marketing from a systems and a strategy, because the biggest problem that I see is that people are not following up with those leads and their potentials the way that they really should be. And so sure. That's really what I'm trying to create is a system within to where we're helping you not only to get leads in the door, but how you actually get those leads to show up. Because I did it, right? Everything that I have that I'm telling our clients to do, I did it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. So you kind of already answered this, but just so that I'm clear. So like one of the problems you solve is like, yeah, we might have leads showing interest, but we're not getting those leads into the door. So tell me, like, Elevate solves the problem of helping you systematize that interest into an actual patient showing up and onboarding them.
Yeah. And so I think that there's a kind of a couple points to that. So the first thing that we do with any client that starts with us is we do a market analysis, right? So we're looking, because everyone right now in the digital marketing space is just throwing blanket recommendations out there, right? Like $1,500 in ad spend. You know, this is what it is. Like, but the reality is that we're just not playing in that sandbox, because I mean, just like every patient is different, every office is different. And an office in a small town is not going to need to spend what someone in a big town is going to spend. Right. And so looking at the demographics, looking at what offers other people are running, we want to make you as competitive in the market as possible and not waste your ad dollars trying to figure that out. And so we go in and we look at these demographics and this information that we know helps us lead you to what you should be doing to have the greatest chance of success. And so that's the first thing that we're doing. Beyond the automations and things that we do, what's really cool about some of the automations that we're seeing is that we've actually developed nurture sequences that we all know when you're running Facebook ads that not everybody is going to show up, right? So we have developed systems where actually about 35% of those, so the number is actually 37, but 37% of those patients will rebook that don't show up for that first visit. And so it's increasing the number of people that continue to show up, you know, month over month over month, because the sales cycle for that person, they may not be ready right then. And so it may take time to nurture them, but eventually over time, they come back in. And then the third part that we have is so I took all the trainings from my office as far as how to follow up with a patient, how to connect with a patient on the phone. And so we have a call center that we call them patient concierges or patient coordinators, because they're actually getting people booked into your calendar. So it's not just someone who's got a script that's calling and calling, right? It's people who actually understand chiropractic, because that's philosophically, as a company, those are the things that I'm giving to my team every single week. Yeah. Right.
That's huge. And I think that right there too is like why sometimes people are like, but I don't want to put this on my staff. And so you're telling us you guys are handling a lot of that.
And truth be told, the numbers are astounding. I looked at our numbers for December and January, actually just last week, and we are scheduling 50% of patients that are connected. So if the call is connected, they're going to book 50% of those patients, which there is nobody that is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the numbers are impressive, but it's ultimately because we're running our company from philosophical basis and trying to get people. Our team is going on mission with our offices to serve. Right. And that's the perspective that we're taking as a company to push everyone, not only from an office, but as a community, as a profession forward.
Mm-hmm. No, that's beautiful. I think that's an interesting thing. Obviously your people that are calling must be pretty dang trained in on what they're supposed to say and how to like do that from a connected place. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, what do you think that means about the consumer too? Like, are they more ready for chiropractic than ever? Or like, what do you think, you know, looking ahead, the future?
Yeah. I mean, I tell my team that we work between training, and that goes across the board for my entire team. And so I think that from a market perspective, I mean, we've heard this for years and years and years, right? It's never been a better time to be a chiropractor. It's never been a better time to be a chiropractor. And I think that there's some truth to that. But at the same time, we have to be doing, if we look at just, we zoom out and we look at what's happening in marketing, right? The medical machine, the pharmaceutical cartel, they're spending millions and billions. The only way we beat them is by connecting better and being better than them. And so I think that by us doing the things that we're doing, that's going to help offices to be successful. Because if I'm very honest with you, I don't care whether someone works with my company or not, I still want them to succeed with this. And I'm willing to give my time to help them understand what they can do. Because it's, for me, it's more about the profession, and ultimately the tide rises all boats.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. You're awesome, Dr. Kendall. That's so good to hear. So if our CEOs are listening right now and they want to connect with you and find out if Elevate could help them, which sounds like probably is yes, what do you suggest that they do next?
Yeah. So, I mean, they can do a couple things. I mean, obviously you can always reach out to me personally, right? I'm on Facebook, right? You'll see a picture of me probably holding up a dead deer in my picture. But so Kendall Price, look me up on Facebook, shoot me a message. You can email me drkendall@goelevatemarketing.com. You can go to goelevatemarketing.com and schedule a call to jump on. But really, I think that the biggest thing that I would say is that it's taking action, right? You've got to take action. And so if you're not taking action and you're not taking the time to build your systems to be successful in your practice, you're falling behind the curve. And that's what we have to change as a profession, is we have to make sure that we're investing the time to really push ourselves forward.
Yeah. Spend the time working on the business, and marketing being one of those things, systems to your marketing, right?
Amen.
Well, and I know you're at TRP frequently at the Immersion, so I'm sure we'll be seeing you there because you're one of our success partners. So
Yes. They
can come to your booth, see you on stage, all of those ways too.
Yeah. And for those of you, I'll make a plug. For those of you who are not involved in your state associations, you should be involved in your state associations and supporting the people that are helping to push your profession forward, because everything happens at a state level. Mm-hmm. And if you're not involved and you're not doing what you need to, you need to be getting involved. We're all over the place trying to push the message of chiropractic and good marketing out there, right? But we have to partner together in order for things to work, right? I'm a firm believer that if you want to go fast, right, go alone. You want to go far, you got to go together.
So good. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for all you do for our profession. It's really remarkable to hear what you're doing behind the scenes and how many people are coming into everyone's office. So I love that. Thank you, Kendall.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic, and what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, direct message us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Now go and be remarkable.